Hey,
spooky friends.
Hey, spooky Cindy.
Hi, spooky cat. And a literal spooky cat that's in your room.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll poke his head in every now and then.
Oh, yeah. He's good at that.
Hi, you guys. Welcome back to another episode. Or welcome if you're a first-time joiner. Welcome to our spookiness. Today, we are going to talk about my Nan and Grandpa's Very Haunted House. But there's a good reason why we're going to talk about that today in particular.
The bestest reason.
Mm-hmm. Kat and I are going to be there. In fact, our meet and greet is, as we're recording this, now you guys will hear this like a week before, but as of right now, it's 2 weeks away. But by the time you guys see this, it'll be just over a week away.
Yep.
So exciting. We are going to Nana and Grandpa's house in St. Augustine, Florida. Kat and I and our husbands are going to go stay at the house for a weekend and ghost hunt and have a meet and greet and just all the spookiness.
That's going to be awesome. I've never been on an official ghost hunt before. I mean, I have, obviously, you guys know I have a ghost in my house. You know, and I've had experiences in other places I've lived, but I've never actually gone to a haunted place before. You know, I have several very large tattoos that were my very first tattoos, and so my motto's always been go big or go home. So
nice.
We're just
nice.
Jumping right in.
Go to a very haunted house and stay there the entire weekend. No escape.
I know. I was talking to Steve about it, too, and I was like, you know, this is going to be really exciting. And he's like, well, yeah, because he's done it before, you know. He used to ghost hunt. Yeah, he used to ghost hunt as part of a crew in Portland. I mean, that was like their thing. They'd go on paranormal hunts and stuff like that. And then I was like, yeah, our bedroom's going to be across the, you know, where we're sleeping is going to be across the hall from where Cindy and her husband are sleeping. And it's right at the base of the stairs to the third floor. And he's like, I'm sleeping on the third floor. I'm like, what? What? You're going to sleep on the third floor? Like, you're just going to leave me alone on the second floor because I'm not sleeping on the third floor. But he was like, yeah, no, well, that's where all the stuff's supposed to be, right? And so today you guys are going to find out why that's a big deal to be up on the third floor and actually stay the night on the third floor. So we're going to hear all about this house. And then later on, when we're actually there, we're going to try and do some live streams from the house. I thought it'd be really cool to set up the camera while we were sleeping, you know, either in the living room or the library, and see if, you know, that live stream caught anything. And then, you know, you bought a whole bunch of equipment to come with us.
I couldn't help myself. I got some of these little sensor lights and they're just normal lights that you would put around your house so that at night when you're walking through, you know, a light will pop on so you can see where you're going. And so I bought, how many of those things did I buy? Like 12 of them or something.
10 or 12, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I did that on purpose because they're motion sensored. And I've been using them in my house already just to get a feel for how sensitive they are and stuff. And they're legit. Like, they work really well. They catch the motion several feet away. And my idea is if something manifests and moves through the house, that light will pop on. And if we're recording, it'll catch that light coming on. I mean, I even thought maybe I'll put it in the bathroom that's attached, you know, to the suite that we'll be sleeping in. But then I thought, if I'm like sleeping at night and that light pops on, I forget it. I'm not going to get any sleep at all. So I don't know if I'm going to be that brave.
And so you'll probably need to put it in our ensuite just because I wake up every night to go pee.
Me too. But listen, I know this house. I know how haunted it is, and I do not want to be getting up and going pee in the middle of the night. So I'm already thinking, like, that's it. No more liquids after 8 o'clock at night. Like, I'm already planning all these things I can do to keep myself from having to go pee. Oh my gosh. It's so funny. As a kid, I didn't think much of it, but the older you get, the more you're like, oh dang, like that's, it's creepy. I don't know. I'm more scared of it now than I was when I was like 8 or 10 or whatever. So weird. So yeah, just to recap our little contest that we had, it didn't end up being a contest because we had exactly 8 people request to meet us at our meet and greet on Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. Ugh, almost forgot the year. And those people are Zena, Lori, Tiff, Presley, Sean, Yvette, Austin, and Christina. And each of those people get to bring a friend, and they're going to come to Nanny's house and hang out with us for 3 hours on that Sunday. And they can bring like cameras, ghost equipment if they want. I don't really care. It'll be the middle of the day, so it's not like it'll be prime ghost hunting time, but you know, if you want to,
says the woman who's caught EVPs just walking around the house in the middle of the afternoon.
That's true. That's a true thing that happens. So yeah, bring it. I don't care. You know, you might catch something, and if you do, you better show it to us. You better tell us, and like if you get a picture with a weird face in it or something, like it's a thing that that can happen. So okay, so just a heads up for my listeners who've been with me since forever. I am going to tell the story of why the house is haunted right now. And I've told the story before, so if you don't want to hear it again, I'm going to put a chapter marking at the end of this story so that you can just skip ahead and not have to hear the whole spiel over again.
And for our new listeners or those that are watching on YouTube, trigger warning, this does involve incest and child. Let me pause so they can cut that out. Hang on. It also involves child endangerment, harm to a child. So if that is at all sensitive for you, definitely understandable, but, you know, so continue at your own risk and just be aware that that's what the story involves.
Yeah. This story involves a child getting starved to death, a disabled child at that. So it's not a pleasant story. It's spooky and all that stuff, but the fact that it likely really happened, can be disturbing. So here it is. So my grandparents' house was built in 1876, and the family that haunts it now, they weren't the first ones to buy it, but they did buy it, I think, in early 1900s, right around that area. And it was a duplex originally, believe it or not, a giant three-story.
Which I find fascinating because an 1800s house built as a duplex is incredibly rare.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes sense if you see the house because it mirrors itself. One half of the house is exactly identical to the other half. And when they bought it, they just opened up the middle. They like took all the middle walls out and made it just a giant single family home, but just a, you know, 7,000 square foot single family home. So they bought it. They were ex-carnival people. So the wife was a musician. She was also a seamstress. So she would make costumes and stuff. And the husband was also, what was he? He was like a musician and something else. I can't remember. But they bought it to retire, basically. And they had 2 children. The kids were boy and girl, and they were half siblings because the wife had a first husband. So she was on her second marriage. And so they move in. They're very reclusive, so they don't leave the house much. Even back in those days, they would have their groceries delivered sometimes. Like, that was a thing. They just didn't...
Before Instacart.
Yeah. They didn't, like, phone it in on their smartphone. But, yeah. So, and the way that they made ends meet was that the wife, being a seamstress, she would make big ballroom gowns for the wealthy people in St. Augustine, because back then St. Augustine was kind of a magnet for the wealthy. They had the Flagler Hotel, and the railroad went through there and was like a big hub for that. So there was a lot of wealthy people there. So she would
a lot of socialites.
Yes.
Yeah.
She'd make these big ball gowns for them. So her clients would come to the house for fittings and all that kind of stuff. So they didn't leave much. So here's the weird, sketchy part. So
let's be honest, though. I don't leave my house that much either.
Yeah. Well, you work from home, though.
For a reason. I don't want to go out and do a bunch of... Well, that's not true. I really enjoy my pajamas.
Right? I mean, who doesn't? I would like to be in my pajamas right now. I might be when we're done. So her kids, as they got older, they hit those teenage years, and they only had each other. So eventually...
They didn't go to school?
I don't know. I don't know if they did or homeschooled, or I'm not sure about the school situation. But I do know
Because they were so reclusive, she taught them at home. Like, they weren't allowed to leave the house, weren't they?
That's my understanding, but okay. I don't know details. See, the only reason we know what we know is because when my grandparents bought the house in, I want to say they bought it in 76 or 72, something like that. When they bought it, the family had died off. So all of their belongings were still in the house, diaries, journals, photos, like birth certificates, death certificates, marriage, whatever, all there. So they've kind of pieced it together. Plus, they knew the final family member before he passed away.
Okay.
And so he told them things too, and neighbors told them things. So they kind of pieced it together. So at some point, the brother and sister, half brother and sister, were intimate, and they got pregnant. So she was pregnant by her half brother. The lady of the house, her name is Julia, she was furious. So she quieted the daughter off to be pregnant and have the baby, and brought her back and pretended the baby was her own. So Julia raised the baby as her own, a little boy. The hard to believe part of the story is that once that little boy got to be early teenage years, he ended up sleeping with his mother, the daughter, and got her pregnant.
Again.
So she got pregnant again, but this time by her son that she had with her half-brother. So the level of incest was a lot.
Extreme.
Yeah. And this baby, so again, Julia was furious. This time she kept it all quiet. The daughter had the baby at home, to our knowledge, and she didn't tell anyone, and the baby basically didn't exist. They kept him on the third floor. She was furious, so she said, I'm not raising this baby. You guys did this. You deal with it. I'm not doing anything, and I don't care if it lives or dies. That's basically what she said. So this little boy was kept on the third floor and tended to by the daughter and the son. Not her son, but the older one. So her half.
Okay.
So they kind of took care of this little boy, and he was mentally handicapped because of the level of incest, and he was also a little deformed. There's some neighbors who said he looked like an albino, like his skin was really light, his hair was really blonde, that kind of thing.
That could be from being kept inside at all times too.
That's true.
You know, lack of pigmentation. But yeah, I would imagine some physical deformities, going on too.
From what I understand, if one saw him, they would know that something was amiss.
Yeah.
So he was kept upstairs on the third floor. That was his domain. He was never brought down, never even named him. They just called him the boy. So he was up there and, you know, doing the best he could with what he had, I suppose. And he would carve pictures into the walls of things he'd see out the window. There was a marina that you used to be able to see from the third floor windows. You can't anymore, of course, because they built buildings in front of it.
But, development.
Right? So there were like little boats and things carved into the wall that my nanny always assumed he did because that's what he saw out the window. So he was up there doing okay, but he...
Are they still there?
No. Nanny didn't feel comfortable with them, and also the claw marks that we're going to get to later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she didn't feel comfortable leaving those in her house. She felt like that was a weird vibe, so she replaced that wood.
Okay.
I think is kind of sad, and I wish she'd left it, but, you know, it is what it is.
For the times, it's understandable as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was in the 70s or 80s when she did that. So, okay, so he started acting up. As he got older, he wasn't being raised in the best of manners, obviously. And he started, like, throwing things out of the windows because there's a sidewalk right close enough to those windows that he could do that, making faces at people. There are even accounts from the neighbors that said that he would try to pee on people as they walked past the house.
As a little boy growing up does, that is basically caged at this point, you know? So anyone who's had, you have three boys.
I do.
They can get up to shenanigans.
If they were in a third floor place in a bit, like, of course they would act out. They'd be bored to tears. Like,
and being raised by children themselves, you know?
By people who also their mental capacity could have been questioned just based on their upbringing. Like, they weren't taught properly, I don't think. So, yeah, he started acting out. Well, there was one night in particular when Julia had a client over doing a fitting, and this little boy threw a tantrum for whatever reason, I don't know. But the story goes that he was loud and the client heard him, and Julia had to kind of explain it away, and she was really, really angry about this. Because rumors had been spreading for a couple years that there was a boy in their third floor because of the stuff he was doing out the windows and stuff.
And so, she has to maintain her social status in order to keep food on the table, so that's not going to look good in society if you're keeping a child captive. So they can't exist at all.
Yeah. So she, after the client left, she stormed upstairs and locked the entire third floor up. Each door locked it tight and would not let her family go in to tend to that little boy any longer. She was done with him. She locked it all up and she let him starve. And the story that my grandparents were told by that last family member, because he told them this, he said that the boy screamed and scratched and clawed, and that he was mentally handicapped, but he still tried to get out. He wasn't effective, obviously, but
yeah, your basic survival instinct kicks in at that point, and you know where the food comes from. It comes from that door, and you know, so if you go out that door, you'll get food and water, and I can't imagine that.
So after a few days he started getting quiet. After a week it was obvious that he stopped moving, but Julia still wouldn't open it up. She didn't open up the third floor until the smell started to bother them. So she did eventually open it up, and the last family member told my grandparents that they took him out of that room, and they, at nighttime, that they dug a hole in the backyard and they buried him back there. Now, we don't know that for sure. We've never, like, confirmed it per se, but that's the story. That's what the neighbors have said. That's what the last family member told them. That's the rumor around town, is that that's what happened.
And so, this the last family member that your nanny and grandpa talked to, do we know what relation he was? Like an uncle or...
No,
you know?
I think that he was, if I'm remembering correctly, I think that he was the the son that impregnated his mom. So he would have been the father of this little boy. I think that was the last one.
Wow.
I think his name was Willie, William, and they called him Willie for short. And I think he was the last one. It was either him or Raleigh. There was one named Raleigh. Raleigh was the half-brother.
Okay.
And then Willie was his son, technically his son. So yeah, I think it was Willie. But yeah, he's the one that told my grandparents all that stuff. So, I mean, that's the story. As far as the
haunting. And he may not have been able to recollect everything as well because he was a product of incest. So,
yeah.
You know, we got to take everything with a grain of salt, but this is the general thought of what happened in the house.
It's been said that he was a pretty intelligent guy on certain topics. I want to say I heard he was like a mechanic or something. That's mm-hmm. how he made his money, and that he was very good at it. But socially, he was a mess. But that makes sense, because he was never really raised in a way that he would understand social behavior. So, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of a mess. So as far as the house being haunted...
Well, what happened to everybody?
Oh, they all died off slowly. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would want to know that, huh? Yeah, I want to say that the daughter died of pneumonia, if I recall.
Okay.
And she died relatively young. And this is an interesting story. When she died, she was like beloved, right, by Julia and her father and all that. So when she died, they put her on a table in the middle of the living room on the first floor and kind of made a shrine and were trying to get her to come back to life. They left her there for 3 or 4 days until the neighbors complained about the smell, and then the police were called and forced the family to bury her properly, and that's documented.
It was
in the newspaper when it happened. So that one is documented. Crazy.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, like, I think Julia died in the house of natural causes. I believe most of them did.
Okay.
So I don't remember. Robert? Julia's second husband's name, I'm pretty sure, was Robert. And then Raleigh was the oldest son. Willie was his son, brother.
The brother's son?
Yeah. And then I think the daughter's name was Lily or Lillian or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the family. And they were crazy. Crazy town banana pants.
But I remember you telling me, too, that they were a little bit extra crazy while living there, too. A, from being carnival people, because it takes a special people to be carnival people.
Back in those days.
And then as they, you know, were so reclusive and everything, because everything was left in the house. So didn't Nanny and Grandpa find like some weird costumes and like art loose quotes?
They were interesting. So they were hoarders, mildly. Mm-hmm. I say mildly because it wasn't like it was stacked to the ceiling or anything, but there were kind of paths, sort of. And it was very dirty. And they kept cash hidden everywhere. So, like, not a lot, though. It was not enough that my grandparents were like, yay, we hit the lottery. But it was like a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, five.
Found another pile. Yeah,
they would put them inside beer bottles. Like, they were bad drinkers. They drank a lot. And they would stuff bills inside beer bottles and just toss them, like, in the house on the floor or whatever. Who cares?
How are you going to get it back out?
I don't know.
The thought process behind some stuff.
Yeah, and trash. They were not good about cleaning up after themselves, so it was very dirty. And, you know, and they were carnival people, so they had interesting clothing, and she sewed a lot of their clothes, understandably so. And my nanny still had a few of her outfits, actually. and I wore one of them for Halloween.
Oh my God.
When I was a teenager, I wore it to school and everything.
Next level of crazy, Cindy. Good grief.
Listen, it fit me really good and it was really pretty.
Oh my gosh.
It was like this Victorian dress. It wasn't like a gown or it was.
You're going to have that voodoo on you though? Like, that's some energy.
Right? I loved it. I went to school and was like, look what I'm wearing. It's from
She wonders why
house.
She's haunted.
That's a valid point. So, yeah, that's a thing I did. So, yeah, they had a lot of weird stuff in that house. That's for sure. And then my grandparents for a while had an antique shop. And so when they closed the shop down, they kept the antiques they had left. So their house was just like a giant antique store, really, between what they had and what the family left. Like, you know, forget it.
That
is meant to be haunted.
That's really common, too, because, I mean, we live in a very old house that was built in 1904. And so we try and find a lot of period correct pieces to fill the house with that are sturdy enough not to get damaged by, you know, a cat jumping on them or something like that. But, you know, that still need to be treated with respect and care because they are fragile and 100+ years old. And if you guys listened to our previous episodes, sometimes those pieces can come with their own energy attached to them.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing. So, yeah, the house, I would say the things that you can expect to experience in that house would be doors opening and closing. That's a pretty common one. Voices that you can hear with your own ears in addition to EVPs. So, like, sometimes if you're just, like, once we were in the living room talking and I just randomly heard a woman as if she was calling down from the top of the stairs at the second floor landing, as if she was calling down to us. And I didn't catch what she was saying because I wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. But I can still hear the voice and the rhythm of it. It was like, da, 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 like she was asking a question. And it was clearly a woman's voice that I didn't know. And we were the only people in the house at the time, and there was nothing on, like no TVs or whatever. So that kind of stuff happens every now and then. EVPs are super common. So if you're one of the people that's going to be at our meet and greet, I would say bring an audio recorder. Although there will be a bunch of us in the house, so it might be difficult because uh-huh. there'll be other voices and all that. But, you know, maybe put it on the third floor and then come down to the first floor and hang out with us and see what you catch. I mean,
yeah.
I've done that before. So that's common. Cold spots. Cold spots are very common in the house.
In St. Augustine, Florida.
In a house that currently has no functioning central heat and air. Yeah. Common. Seeing anomalies, it ranges from seeing like a mirage kind of thing to seeing lights to seeing shadows moving. All that stuff is common in the house. So
it's now your AF. I want to, from your perspective, but just because you've had so much experience in the house over the years, do you think that these entities, energies, whatever we want to call them, is that the people that lived in the house, the carnival people, is it traveling energies? Does someone get stuck there? Like, who are they and where did they come from? What do you think?
Personally, oh gosh, I have several thoughts on that. So I'm sure it's the family, first of all. I'm sure that some of it is the family that's there. I don't even know for sure if it's the boy himself who passed away, who was murdered. I'm not even sure if it's him so much as just the family members, because the voices I've caught don't usually sound like a little boy. And from what I understand, he really didn't talk that much anyway, so I don't know. But the voices I catch are either a female voice or a really gruff male voice. I've caught that. So I don't know what that light was behind you. Did you see that?
I did. That was weird.
You are in a haunted house, so
right. I do have a window like right over on this side that does face the street, so it might have been a car windshield catching, but that was because it was very square, but that was weird.
Yeah, that was interesting. So anyway, ghosts.
We're gonna have to review that. For those of you listening to on the podcast, go to the YouTube channel and check that out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think your little old lady was like, "Hey guys."
Right. Enid's like, "What are you talking about? You talking about me?"
Yeah. So I think it's the family, but honestly, I think that my own grandparents might be there too still. I know that after Grandpa died, he died about 9 years before Nanny passed. So, and Nanny told me for those whole 9 years, she told me immediately after he passed that she started hearing her name called and it was his voice. And that happened often. It happened so much, in fact, that she stopped sleeping in her own bedroom. He was sleeping downstairs and she stopped sleeping down there on the first floor because he was ill and he couldn't get up the stairs and stuff. She had to sleep in a different room because he woke her up every single night, his voice calling her. But when she started sleeping in a different room of the house, then it didn't happen as much anymore and she was able to get some sleep. And that was shortly after he passed. She told me one time she was in the yard working in the garden. She loved a garden. And she heard him call her as if he was standing on the back porch looking for her, like, "June," you know. So yeah, she heard him calling her all the time. And that was common. So, and now that she's gone, the only way I have of knowing that maybe she's there is that the day of her funeral is the last time I was there and I was recording and I caught a voice that I think might have been hers and it said, "I'm okay, don't forget about me." And that was the day of her funeral. So that's why I feel like maybe she's there too. I don't know. But I do. I mean, we spread their ashes in the garden. That's what they wanted, both of them. So they're there still.
Well, she did love to garden. So
they both loved that house. Like they just loved everything about it. And they both always wanted it to stay in the family and everything. So, you know, I hope it continues to do that. But
I think that level of appreciation for a house comes from those that truly cherish historical architecture, you know, because my husband's the same way. He wanted, before we even met, and I didn't know this, but he always wanted to live in a Victorian house. And the first house that we actually looked at buying in Alabama is actually just a block down the street from us, so he still gets to see it all the time, is a Victorian, and he absolutely loved it. That sale ended up not being able to go through for various reasons, but, you know, we still have a historical home. It's a Greek Revival, and the love and appreciation for something this old and having withstood the test of time and wanting to see that history continue, it takes a very special person to recognize that and be able to continue that. So major props to Nanny and Grandpa for taking care of that house and loving it so much. And hopefully we can continue to do that.
Yeah, when they bought the house, it was condemned, actually, by the city. Because the family that had just died off, you know, the Goofy family, they did not care for it at all, and it fell into disrepair so badly that the city condemned it. And the only way that they would let my grandparents purchase it is if my grandparents promised to refurbish it. They were not allowed to just buy it and let it rot away. It would be an eyesore or whatever. So my grandparents did. They fixed it up, and my first memories of the house is like, you know, crews everywhere, like working on things, and like we would run through the house and And sometimes it wasn't super safe and we probably shouldn't have been doing that, but there was like holes in the floor on the third floor and stuff. And, you know, I
watch where you're walking. Don't fall in a hole.
I've never been, so I guess that's good. But, you know, yeah, it was pretty creepy. In fact, my grandpa used to tell me that when they first got it, they were trying to fix it. And the third floor, he would want the doors propped open. No, he would want them shut. That's right. Because the house is drafty and all that. So he would shut the doors. And the third floor, like the rooms have two different doors that go into the same room, like on different parts of the hallway. So he would prop the door shut with a brick and then go out the other door. And in the morning when he would come back up, that door would be open and that brick would be pushed all, like somebody pushed the door open, pushed the brick all the way to the wall, like door open, open. And I'm like, well, yeah, if that kid
he doesn't
starved to death
want
up there,
the door to be closed anymore.
Yeah, he's like, no, no, don't close that door.
So we're going to bring a brick and close the door and see what happens.
Right? We should definitely do that. Yeah, we should do all the things. In fact,
all the things.
This is really cheesy, but my grandparents loved music, loved it, and instilled that love of music in me. And so my grandpa used to always, I played the flute all throughout school, and he always loved for me to bring my flute over and play it for him. So I fully intend to bring my flute and see if we can trigger some activity. And then also I know some songs that were my grandparents' favorites, and I'll sing those and see if, you know, just whatever we can do to like,
we're going to have to make a list of all the things we want to do and make sure that we don't forget anything, which is, it's funny that you say that. I'm going to tell Steve now because, fun fact, he plays the clarinet.
Nice.
Yeah. He did it again all throughout high school, like you do. Yeah. And he's just now getting back into it just for, you know, fun and learn a musical instrument. I'm learning to play the violin. I just bought one, and so it makes noise. Not well, but it does it. I will not bring that because Will and Boko will probably summon a demon with that. But I'll have Steve bring the clarinet and see what happens.
Yeah, my grandpa was notorious for like, every time we'd come over, he had a new instrument. Didn't know how to play any of them, but he would go to garage sales and stuff, and he'd be like, look at this perfectly fine trumpet. And we're like, nobody knows how to play the trumpet, Grandpa. One time he came home with a banjo. We're like, okay.
Accordion. That's excellent.
He did play the accordion, my grandpa did, and actually gave me one. It was like a smaller one because I was a kid at the time. And I might remember how to play like a chord or two on it. I don't know, but
Steve always wanted to learn to play the accordion. So,
really?
Yeah.
Grandpa was pretty darn good at it, actually.
He's an odd duck. My husband is just full of surprises.
My nanny played the piano and the organ. She had an organ in the living room. I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah, it was.
That's impressive.
One, yeah.
Like organ regardless in a home setting, because you normally find those in churches, mm-hmm. to have one in the house, that's impressive. So major props to Nanny. I want to learn to play the piano at some point just because I think it's so pretty, and I've always wanted to learn to play the piano. We just haven't gotten one yet, but there is a spot picked out for it in the dining room.
Nice. Yeah, she played those and she sang. And Grandpa sang. Grandpa was like a bass. He would sometimes joke about it and like walk through the house and be like, boom, 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 you know? Anyway.
Well, I am super excited to go and investigate and see the house. Just so that you guys know, we're going to remind y'all as well, the house is in need of repairs, so you'll see some stuff that, you know, probably needs fixing. And we have a way that we can help fix that, don't we, Cindy?
We do. So my uncle owns the house currently, and he is struggling. So he owns his own house, and then which he has his workplace out of and all that. And then he also inherited my nanny and grandpa's house. So he's struggling. He's able to afford to keep the house, but he doesn't have any spare to fix it. And the house has fallen into disrepair almost as badly as when my grandparents bought it in the first place. So the foundation of the house is rotted and needs to be repaired. And for a three-story, you know,
that's a lot of weight.
Mansion-looking house, it's very expensive. So the estimate he got just to repair the rotted foundation was $142,000, just to fix that, just to fix that. So then it. If you look at the GoFundMe that he started for it, which I'll put the link in the description. If you look at that, there are pictures of the side of the house where the side of the house is literally rotting off. Like there are gaping holes in the siding and you can see clear through to the
dining insulation. Room? Oh, okay. I was like, how far is this hole going through?
But it's bad. He has to tarp it every now and then. And like it, and in Florida, every time it rains, mm-hmm. it goes right in and it just causes more trouble. There, the easement, I think it's called, of the where the roof is, where the mm-hmm. roof meets the house, those are gaping open, like a foot or two open holes where birds occasionally fly in, and like it's just a mess. The house is in pretty rough shape. So to the point that when we go there, I'm gonna bring air purifiers and put them in our rooms because the air quality is not great. It's not great. So yeah, the house needs a lot of help. So I mean, this is really goofy, but my birthday is on March 23rd. If you guys want to give me a birthday gift, a really great one would be to go to that GoFundMe and support it in some way. You know, like share the link, donate a couple bucks, like whatever you can do to help us get that house or situated, because it's really getting to the point where I'm actually worried that the city might condemn it again. And I don't know how my uncle will be able to deal with that if it happens. Like, he doesn't have the means to fix it. So yeah, help us keep the house in the family by keeping it upright, because it's doing pretty badly. So
yeah, and it is a very, very lovely home. It could definitely be restored into its former glory, you know. So if you guys can donate, great. If you know someone in the Florida area or nearby that has construction knowledge and wants to donate their time or materials even, whatever we can do as a community to help this historic house, not just for us and not just for Cindy and her family, but ultimately to save a historic house. Because again, there's so many people out there that love this type of architecture, and it's worth preserving. There is so much history in St. Augustine anyways, and this is part of it. So
yeah, I actually got married at the house. I got married in the yard, like next to the front porch area, and then the reception was inside.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, my whole life is wrapped up in that house. I would scoop it up in a heartbeat if I could afford it, but you know. So yeah, please help if you can. And you know, it's not even about money. If you, like she said, if you want to donate your knowledge or expertise or whatever, shoot me an email, cynthia@truehauntings.com. Let me know. If you want to share the link, sharing the link is also just as helpful, because the more people that see it, the more people might be able to help. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think something that would be really fun to help get our listeners and our subscribers involved is if you guys have, because obviously when we go ghost hunting and stuff, we're going to hear things, and of course we're going to talk to them. And so we're going to see if we can get some answers, but answers to what questions? So if you guys have something that you'd like us to ask said spirits that are in the house, leave those questions in the comments. And I will keep a list of them, and we will go through and we'll ask them, and then we'll do a follow-up to see if we can hear anything on the recordings and if we do get answers to those questions. Side note, no Ouija boards will be involved. My husband will leave me in Florida if he even smells a planchette. So no Ouija boards will be involved in the asking of the questions, just regular conversation.
Right.
We're not turning this into our very own true haunting scary movie where everything ends terribly.
Right.
So yeah, leave us those questions. What do you want us to ask the spirits in Nanny and Grandpa's house? If there's something you'd like us to do specifically, you know, go into a specific room or do something, you know, we'll definitely take that into consideration.
Yeah, and pay attention to our YouTube channel, because we are going to try to live stream on that too, and in Facebook, and some of that might happen live at night when we're ghost hunting, and or during the day, who knows. So stay on that stuff. We'll try to give little heads up when we're going to do it, maybe in the Facebook group or something. But yeah, just keep an eye on us that whole weekend before Easter, the whole weekend of April 1st and 2nd. We're going to be at the house, like, doing all the spooky things.
It's going to be fun. And if you guys haven't already, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and ring that bell notification so you don't miss any of the fun, spooky stuff we're doing.
Yes, because if you ring it now, then you will get notifications when we are goofing off in that house. All right, you guys. We will literally spook you soon. Not just later. Very soon. So, spook you later.